and stuff. Can everyone? Can you guys hear us clearly? Sorry.
Sushant?
8 people are in the waiting room.
Yeah, we can hear you. All right, someone should like, we can hear you. All right, perfect.
So, good afternoon, everyone. We're going to get started quickly with a short presentation and we'll leave it open to questions. In case there's some technical issues we're facing today, in case there's anything, please put in the text box or reach out and then we'll sort it out accordingly. Okay, great. Let's get started. Please, can you upload the presentation? Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for taking the time to attend our investor presentation today. It's a quick overview, like we give every time, on the status of where we are. Okay. Okay, now it's on. All right. Business overview. Sorry, there's 6 people in the waiting room. So I think someone needs to accept the people pending in the waiting room. So can you please have that done wherever it is?
I think Sushant is showing that.
Okay, business overview. Quarter 4 sales, 235 crores. As you all would have seen, these have already been announced. And the quarter 4 PBT figures at 12.4%. And fortunate enough that market conditions were good, allowing us to have our best ever quarterly performance. And this compares to earlier where we were at 10.2%. As we've discussed before, strong market remains fairly strong in its demand as well as the resilient economic growth, especially in the sectors in which we are focusing. As a company, internally, the things that we are focusing on right now are the capacity enhancement in specific product lines, the product mix of the types of products we are selling, the markets in which we're selling them in, and try to get better realization as well as volumes. Internal digitization programs, especially that are focused on B2B supply chains and distributor supply chains, and in the international business, exploring new markets as well. The international business we've been talking about sometimes is a very important and growing business segment for us. And we have fortunately done well last year for various factors that are not only internal changes that have been made in the leadership team doing well, but also related to global factors that are more encouraging for Adobe to do well in the Middle East, Americas, and Africa. This is data that I'm sure all of you are aware of, the PBT and return on capital employed data that we track quite closely going forward. Working capital data as well. We expect this year on the ROCE level, to be more or less flat.
Yeah,
flat. The ROCE level, we expect the borrowing figure to be also flat.
A little bit
because of the projects and stuff that are coming up, we expect a little bit of growth to happen on that, and the debt to equity ratio will accordingly move a little bit on that. Our segment performance, consumables, which is a very strong, our strongest segment, has touched wood, done well. We're seeing some benefits of scale and product mix. The equipment has actually been doing well, where we are today in the Indian welding market, approximately 80% of welding equipments are imported. Out of the balance, 20%, almost 50 to 65% of that is manufactured by Adore. Our volumes have done well. There have been certain supply chain issues that have led to a little bit of margins sort of being lower than expected. Plus, we also have our automation division, which had a few things that needed to be cleaned up over the course of last year, which is why we're seeing slightly lower margins than we expected. We expect this to improve over the course of this year. Flares and process equipment division, we talk about this a lot of changes that are happening. We have the Uran project, plus a few other projects that are going forward and turning the corner over here. It's done quite well in Q4. Again, this year, the Uran project, in the second half of the year, will be the larger part of the billing. The first half of the year will be a little more subdued, and then it'll lead into the second half of the year entirely. We have some ESG initiatives which are new, which is related to the environmental changes that have been made, whether it's stopping the use of thermocol, we have reduction in plastic consumption by 30% in one of our plants. And the most important thing is actually the reduction of water usage, which we've been tracking very closely, which is 50% less at one of our plants and 20% less at the other plants. The merger application has been submitted by NCLT, convene a shareholders meeting at Addo Welding on the 10th of August, Addo Contact on the 11th of August, and we expect that this merger process will be completed by the financial year 2024. Okay, can we stop sharing this presentation? And now we leave it open to questions.
You can start typing your name in the chat box, and our moderator will unmute you.
Just remove this, stop sharing this presentation. Okay. Someone's moderating.
Yeah,
Pooja, you're moderating this.
Yeah. Good evening, everyone. I'm your moderator for today's Q&A session. Our first speaker for today is Mr. Ankit Gupta. Mr. Ankit, you are now being placed in the middle. Please proceed to ask your questions. Mr. Ankit Gupta?
Yeah. Are you guys able to hear me?
Yeah, now I can hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations to Aditya and the entire team for a wonderful set of numbers, not just in Q4, but the entire year has been pretty good for us. Aditya, you know, in consumables, if you can talk about what has been the volume growth for Q4 as well as for the entire year. And the subsequent question on consumable is the kind of margin improvement we have seen over the past, two quarters. How sustainable is this, you know, going forward, 15-16% kind of EBIT margins on the consumable side? So if you can talk about that.
Yeah, sure. So last year, if you remember, we've done this, I think we've had two meetings since then. If you remember, Q1 was very, very quiet last year in terms of volume because of all the commodity prices and supply chain issues and inflationary factors that were taking place. So the overall volume, I think, for last year was pretty much almost flat. For Q4, we had growth of about, about 4-5% we had volume growth versus in Q4 versus Q4 the year before.
Yeah.
Now remember, Q4 the year before, there was tremendous volume push because prices were moving up. So you were comparing versus that period of time. In terms of volume growth going forward this year, we expect volume growth to be in the region of 10%. I think that should be fair in terms of volumes, and that's what we've been planning throughout. In terms of margins, what you've seen in HY2, correct? What you've seen in HY2 is pretty much along the lines of what we continue to focus on. I hope that answers your question. Hello?
Yeah. I'm able to
hear.
That
answer, so just to clarify, you expect to have 10%, we expect at least a 10% volume growth in the consumable segment over the course of this year, and we expect our margins to be in line with what was in HY2.
On the equipment side, Aditya, you know, margins have remained subdued for past almost 2 years now. We have been facing some supply chain issues that you have highlighted in earlier calls. You know, although revenue growth has been decent, but margins have remained under pressure. And, you know, in our calls, we have stated that, you know, the equipment margins can also touch, you know, 14-15% kind of EBIT, you know, when things normalize and our margins improve. So what is the outlook on the margin as well as growth on the equipment front, if you can talk about that?
The equipment, I expect there to be a similar level of growth as you see in the consumables in terms of quantities going forward. One thing that, you know, you keep talking about, it's a very conscious decision by Ador, is that we want to do the Make in India part. And Make in India part allows us certain benefits, but at the same time has a slightly lower margin than I expect leading players who are importing in very large bulk of global sourcing will do. So that's the sort of conscientious that we take. Having said that, I think the margins last year were a little lower than we should have done. And there is room for improvement. It will take over the course of a year. It will not change drastically in a quarter. But we are doing things related to supply chain, better rationalization of manufacturing, better sourcing, product mix issues over the course of the year, that you will see changes happen over the course of this year to improve closer to what you indicated. I don't think I'll be able to hit that number this year, but definitely closer to that.
Sure. Thank you. I'll come back in the queue. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gupta. Our next speaker for today is Mr. Viraj Mehta. Mr. Viraj, you are now being placed in the meeting. Please proceed to ask your questions.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for taking my question. My first question is regarding the players division. You said the majority, I mean, a significant portion of our players project business that we got would come in the second half. The kind of margin profile that you would have expected or that you accepted this business at, can you tell us what would be a rough expectation of the business of players' business in terms of margins?
Give a rough estimate.
So gross level, we are expecting at least 18 to 20%.
18 to 20% on a gross level basis is how we look at it. That's pretty much in line with how the project is going at the moment. The project, it's a 24-month execution on that project.
Yeah.
And the bulk of the execution, we've started putting it, but the bulk of the execution will start in HY2 and run through until HY1 of next year.
Yes.
From Q3 till next year. And but we look at it along those levels, we're tracking it very closely, and we seem to be in line with that expectation of those figures.
Okay. In terms of just the cash flows, we see a significant or reasonable jump both in terms of receivables going up from 93 crores to 125 odd crores, and even inventory is going up from 90 crores to 116 crores, which is hurting our working, or it's increasing our working capital. I wouldn't say hurting, but so do you think these are normalized numbers, or there was some one-off in these working capital numbers?
So good question, and it's very important. So one part is, I think on the inventory, these are not normalized levels. These were certain high levels that we had, and we're spending a lot of time and effort over the course of this year to reduce that. I think last year there were so many supply chain talks that seem to have normalized a lot now, more comfortable than we were at any point over the last 1 year. That now I think we'll be in a position to start getting our inventory a little more in a better position. We definitely agree with you that was a little slightly bigger position than we wanted. And we will improve on that. On the receivables front, there are 2-3 elements to it. Our end-user business and the domestic welding business will increase the life of very large contractors and companies. So some part of it will happen, which is happening, is reflecting already. And that's okay. And we ensure, you know, that rotates quite well and everything like that. And that's part of the nature of doing business that we have to do that. There's a certain part of the international business that will also happen as we increase. But most of that is very, very secure. So we're not too stressed about that at all. Last part is, of course, with the players business coming in, you'll have a little bit of that as well. So it's not like we're not tracking it. I think a certain amount of ballooning will happen, and you're seeing a more normalized receivable position for the end of the year towards this year. But as far as inventories goes, there's definitely room for improvement.
Sure. And just my last question is regarding when you said 20% gross margin. I mean, would it entail the cost at the site and all of that? So which will mean the EBITDA margin would be...
That's so all cost.
So then if I don't include the HO cost, then that would roughly mean that entire 20% flows to our bottom line? That's a fair understanding?
No, we are talking of the direct cost, directly related to the project. So there are setting fixed costs.
Okay. Thank you so much and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next speaker for today is Mr. Dhwanil Desai. Mr. Desai, you are now being placed in the meeting. Please proceed to ask your questions.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Aditya, my first question is, if I look at our consumable business, we grew our revenue by 15%, but you said that the volume were flattish. So is it largely coming because of the higher steel prices or it's the product mix? And to tie in with this, you said that next year we're expecting around 10% volume growth. So, with the product mix changes and steel prices being lower, how do you look at the revenue translation?
I think, it's you have to keep in mind, we had a very odd first 6 months of last year. You know, that sort of masks and changes the entire profile of what last year was. We are pushing on volumes. We are definitely pushing on volumes. And volumes to the extent of Q4 have been fairly good and much closer to the utilization that we're looking at. We're adding more product lines in capacities for more diverse product lines, and we expect to build out capacities as well. Look, we're a steel intermediary. You can't really think about the input price, right? So you basically have to do what you play with. But we definitely want to increase it, pushing volumes while ensuring that minimum margin level is maintained. And I think the market is there for it. I think, look, if you look at last year, it's very hard to keep looking at that data last year for the HY1 because it's not indicative of a normal growth period. So that's why I'm very careful. And the quarter before that, Q4 of the year before, is when people were picking up very large volumes that were just being stopped. So I feel like there's a 9-month period that is very hard to look as a historical factor. So I think you have to look more from October onwards and then start seeing how does that accurately reflect demand supply scenarios.
Okay. Got it. And second question, Aditya, is in consumable side, I understand that it's a very decent gross margin business. And with the volume growth coming in, generally the operating leverage plays out, but you are guiding for very similar margin profile. So are we looking at any cost line items going up other than the normal inflationary part?
Any cost that, basically, are you saying any of our variable costs will increase?
Yeah.
We will have a few small increases. They won't be very, very significant because I told you that I may not have explained this in detail, but let me once again. I think from a business development perspective, when it comes to the international market exhibitions, when it comes to the Indian market in terms of new product lines being added, trial and error, technical costs, technical development costs, people costs, a little bit of all of that, I think investing for the future will be there this year. However, I think the upside, not only over time, but I think this year itself, the potential is there to be able to absorb that within the margin levels we need. So I'm not too stressed about it. We are making investments in it because at the end of the day, we have to grow the brand accordingly and we have to keep looking at the future. So yeah, we are taking on costs that you wouldn't normally in any year. But given the economic scenario and the potential for where we want to go, I think it's worth taking on.
Okay. And last question from my side. So, I think from whatever that we are hearing from other people on crap food side and infra side, things are very robust on the ground. And also, we are trying to increase our business on the export side. So, putting both this together, can we do more than 10% volume growth? Because, the entire environment is very favorable. And we are trying hard to grow.
I'm in agreement with you. And we have some of our sales heads on this call. And they all know that 10% is a conservative estimate that we're working with. Yeah. It's just that I like to not get into anything more. Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next speaker for today is Mr. Mehul. Mr. Mehul, you are now being placed in the meeting. Please proceed to ask your questions.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I had one question because I'm following this company very recently. So what is the rationale for merging the two companies, Ador Welding and Ador Contec?
Sure. So just to give a very quick synopsis, is they're both basically started off as one. And they both legacy from the Olicon days before, from 1951, when we had a joint venture with Olicon. Where basically these two companies, one is in the fabrication welding business, and one is in the repair and reclamation business, primarily related to welding, but also in other parts it diversified and grew from that portfolio onwards. We then decided a year ago, and we've been evaluating for some time before, that not only us, but many large players globally have started consolidating these businesses because they see a lot of benefit from the back end to consolidate manufacturing. And various other costs while ensuring that the distribution and the sales remain fairly separate on the front end. And we also thought it's a good opportunity to increase the value of the company. So we decided to do that. So that's the rationale. Hello.
Yeah, sorry, I have another question.
Sure.
I don't know the exact number of years, but Ador Welding has been operational for more than 20 years now.
70 years.
Sorry?
70 years. 71, 72 years. 71 years.
71 years. So, sir, just in your presentation, you mentioned that, almost 80% of the services in this industry is from outside by foreign companies, and 20% is by Indian companies. Was that a correct understanding?
In the welding equipment business line, welding equipment, the welding power source business line, as per the data we get from the import-export data, approximately 80% of welding equipments in India that are sold have been imported. Yes.
Okay. So my question is more from a legacy standpoint. Since the company has been operating for 70 plus years, so still the company has no competition, which is, is it a correct understanding? We don't have any competition for our company so far?
No, we have a lot of competition. We have a lot of competition, right? We do have, it's just that our competitors in that specific product line are more imports than necessarily domestic manufacturers. However, they are domestic players. And they are very well structured large companies also.
Okay. Sir, actually, I was trying to say that no domestic competition. Is that correct?
No, that's not correct, sir. It's not correct. They're branded. These people, these companies, first of all, we have a lot of competition, and we have a lot of competition that is not only large, tier one, we have tier one, tier two, tier three type of competition that exists throughout. We have a lot of competition. A lot of players in the welding equipment space, which is fine, is nothing so great in it, import their product and sell an imported product under their own brand name. And we have a domestically manufactured product in our brand name for the bulk of our supplies. That's the only difference we're talking about.
Okay, got it. And sir, one question, or you can throw some light on how do you see the company? Because it was a surprise to me that the company has been existing for 70 plus years. So how do you see the company in the next 10, in the next decade, after a decade or so? Because, you have the pedigree, you have the experience as a house.
Yeah, so it's a good question, and there's a lot of thoughts that go into it. But I think I'll give you a very, vague answer. I don't think I'll give you a precise answer, because I don't think that would be fair. But look, we believe that we should come out as a very, very strong player at the end of this CapEx cycle at the top. And that's what all the efforts that we're putting in. I don't want to put a number to it, but in terms of the product lines that we operate in, or the services we operate in, or the segments we operate in, we want to be number one or number two by a very significant margin in those. And we're working towards that. I'd like not to quantify it, even though internally we do. I'd prefer not to quantify it here, but that's the philosophy that's driving us to that. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next speaker for today is Mr. Harshal. Mr. Harshal, you are now being placed in the meeting. Please proceed to ask your questions.
Yeah. Hi, sir. So I want to understand is after the ONGC order, do we have any such kind of big orders in the pipeline or in the bidding stage as of now?
Yeah, we do have inquiries that are at a fairly advanced level, and we are working on a few of them and trying to convert them. The team is trying to convert those, so we keep the order book churning throughout, and we keep the shop floor busy and everything like that. Yes, very much so. There's a lot of work going on that.
Okay, and will it be of kind of the same size or
similar type of size, similar type of product profile, similar sort of work like that? Yeah, very similar.
Okay. So, secondly, what I want to understand is if a player buys an equipment from you, what would be the life cycle of the equipment, and when does he change the equipment or not?
So, it varies. There's a tremendous variation in that, because you can buy very cheap, quick use, at site, use and dump type of machines that could be 9,000, 10,000, 15,000 that you use very fast like that. There could be applications, for example, where you run it through 3-4 years. I would presume most people, the bulk of it, would run it through a 3-5 year cycle. And then there are equipments which we know are in the field for 30 years and 25-30 years as well, the workhorses that continue. So I think it varies a lot. But if you're talking about the general large contractors who buy for sites, they try and depreciate the value of the machine over the course of that project. That's the way they look at it.
Okay, sir. But then too, they might be using the same equipment at some other site of theirs or of some other project.
All those things are there, correct.
Okay. So thirdly, I want to understand, you said that in the international business, we are investing heavily in all exhibitions and, you know, to create a presence in all these markets.
Yeah.
So till what tenure do you see that these investments might continue, after which we might see a respectable or reasonable margin?
You should see the margin this year itself. I don't think we're going to allow the margin to get compromised. But we will see. I think this year is a slightly more big ticket kind of spend on business development. We don't have it chalked out over 3-4 years. I think this year is the year that's going to be a bit bigger than that. But I don't see a tremendous impact on margins at all. I don't see.
Okay. So you might see some kind of a gradual increase from Q1 to Q4.
Some sort of a which increase gradual increase in international sales or margins, what
margins
from Q1 to Q4?
I
don't want to answer that question right now. I'll just answer you from the perspective of FY 20. Yeah, from the last Q4 perspective. So yeah, it should be okay. I can't comment on Q4 right now.
So my last question was on optimizing our working capital cycle. You said that the inventory levels might come back, in a reasonable range. But looking at the receivables and payables, what kind of improvements can we do? Or is it just because of the ONGC order which we've started executing, which has led to an increased working capital cycle?
It's not a very large increase because of the ONGC. It's a slight increase on the ONGC. It's a slight increase on the international business front. A slight increase, like I said, on the end user front, which we keep monitoring and keeping track of. And we look at ratios overall as a percentage of total sale. On the inventory front, I think there's a larger scope. As far as ratios go, the receivables is fairly okay. Correct. The ratios are more or less okay. I think the inventory ratios were something we were not happy with at the end of the year with. So that's something we're definitely looking at. How do we improve a lot on that?
Okay. So one last question is with the current plant, what kind of peak kind of asset turnovers can we do, and are we envisaging any capex going ahead?
We have a significant capex going ahead this year in terms of new product lines and stuff like that. And normally, the ROI is between 22 to 25% is what we look at. We have a significant ROI, which I've been talking about for some time in various meetings, whether it's the AGM or whether it's investor meet. ROI, our capex last year was very flat because we have a little bit of spillover effect that comes into this year. And we're looking at some, like I keep saying, product lines and stuff like that.
Okay, what would be the capex number for this year? Any budgeted figure?
We have a capex figure. It would be, have we decided fully or we close it out fully?
Most of them are from last year.
Yeah, carry forward. I think you can look at somewhere in the region of approximately
30. 30 odd crores would be the capex this year.
Yeah, I think that's what we're trying to push towards, because we had a little bit of spillover where we expected it to be about 24, 25 last year. We ended at 15, so you have that spillover effect from there. You're carrying that through as well. So I think we're trying very hard. We had a project that I wanted to execute last year, and then get executed last year, and get executed this year itself. So a little bit like that. So I assume that figure of 30 to be a little more ballpark of what we want.
Okay. And do we see any product gaps in our portfolio that we are still not presented and can be filled going ahead?
There are a few. There's a few small pockets. Look, we have 5,000 SKUs. So there's always some little small. There's no very large product gap, except for, I feel, in the automation space, we are a little bit lagging behind where we should be, which is a large gap. Everything else is sort of incrementally small product gaps that we keep plugging with our technical development team.
Okay. Can you just brief a little bit on the automation product gap, you know, on the cause?
It's more to do with just with the comprehensive execution that we can do in terms of projects and stuff like that. It's not a specific product line or anything like that. It's just in terms of our capability to execute larger and larger and more sophisticated projects.
Okay. Okay. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next speaker for today is Mr. Khush. Mr. Khush, you are now being placed in the meeting. Please proceed to ask your questions.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so my first question was on the consumables. What would be our capacity utilization, or what can be the turnover that we can do from our current capacity?
On average, depending on product line, on average, we'll be somewhere in the region of 80% right now. 75%,
I'd say,
right?
75%. Okay. And my understanding was that we were about to do a big cost rationalization program, and we had a lot of areas where we could reduce our cost. Our current margins, I feel, are have increased more to do with the operating leverage. So can you still help me understand that is the most part of the cost rationalization program pending, and there is a lot of scope further to increase the margins?
There is scope. I think it's going to be, like I keep saying, it's a quarterly thing. I've always said this in every meeting, quarter on quarter, we keep studying and analyzing how we can make small incremental improvements in margins. And we keep doing that. That will continue. And there's some quarters where a raw material input might hurt us versus something else. But in general, when it comes to just the way we operate, we keep quarter on quarter understanding how we can be more efficient in doing work. So there's definitely an upside, but it's not going to happen tomorrow morning. It's a long story and you keep playing itself out.
In terms of cost rationalization, I thought we had 6-7 factories and we were rationalizing to 1 or 2 factories. Has that been done, or?
We do not have 6-7 factories, sir. We have 3 factories. And we are in the process of exploring different options as we go forward from there. And that is also to do with the merger being approved and everything like that. At that time, we'll be in a position to analyze things a little differently.
Okay. And also,
you're right that rationalization is continuously on our mind as to how we can be more efficient in our costs. For sure. Doesn't stop. And it happens around in the manufacturing space for many years. Yes.
Okay. And in the equipment side, if you can help me understand, we did sales of 166 crores in FY17. Our sales in FY23 are around 115 crores. What went wrong and why?
It's actually just a different set of grouping. Until FY2021, we used to group the welding equipment and the flares and process equipment division as one. And after that, we separated the two out. So if you look at the historical data prior to that, to compare it, it's a little bit difficult. Okay. We had our highest ever welding equipment sale last year, by far.
Okay. And our expectations for exports and in FY24, and what was the exports figure in FY23?
I think FY23, we closed the exports at about 58, 59 crores. 61 crores we closed. And we would expect to do, anywhere in the region of approximately more than that. I think we're looking at 30% growth is what we should be looking at least. 30-35% growth is what we're aiming for at the very minimum.
Okay. And in terms of our blended margins, so consumables margins have recovered to kind of earlier levels or the best levels. There is scope in terms of equipment and flares also. So do you feel that in a year or two, all this together, including Ador Fontec, which has 18-20% margins, so our blended margins can increase to 13-15% kind of range, or is that possible directionally?
Is what we are working towards. That's what we are working.
Okay. What? Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker for today is Mr. Akshay Kothari. Mr. Kothari, you are now being placed in the meeting. Please proceed to ask your questions. Hello?
Hello?
Mr. Kothari?
So, what was the volume growth in the equipment division?
Almost 30% last.
Okay, and is this number sustainable going forward?
Look, I don't give a forecast of where we can go forward. I think right now the economic conditions is what you have to keep looking at. I think right now it's fairly feasible given the economic conditions, but we don't comment on where we see the economy going beyond that.
Understood. Regarding the distribution network, has there been any expansion of distribution network on the domestic side?
We do a little bit, when we do expansion in the domestic welding network, it's all about where the regions are, where we want to chop and change, do we want to work with a different partner, or is it some other reason that we're needing the large for the end user that requires it. Otherwise, in general, we have a fairly strong base that's there, and it's sort of incremental changes on the side.
Okay. And so there are these startups which are coming up. You know, there is a B2B place called as Zwork. So do we have any tie-up with these startups or places?
We do. Depending on the startup and the requirement, we do. In fact, we supply to Zwork and stuff like that. Yes, we do. So it varies on case-to-case basis. But yeah, there is. There's a lot of B2B stuff coming out in which we participate in some, we don't participate in some. But yeah, there is a little more of that happening.
Understood. Okay. That's great, sir. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you.
Our next speaker for today is Ms. Nitiksha. Ms. Nitiksha, you are now being placed in the meeting. Please proceed to ask your questions.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah. Sir, I would like to ask that going forward in FY24, from which particular sector are we expecting growth, kind of like infrastructure or, you know, heavy engineering or automobile? So which particular sector do we think will be strong and will be beneficial to our company?
Okay, good. So I think the railway sector, whether it's the wagon manufacturing or the infrastructure in terms of heavy infrastructure that takes place around railway lines or stuff like that, seems to be at the moment a very big ticket talk, and we are seeing it on the ground. General heavy engineering and contractors and stuff like that are doing EPC kind of work, heavy engineering projects, that's the second biggest that we're seeing. We're seeing a lot of work in sort of cement expansion also taking place. That's another third line that's also coming up. Oil and gas is the mixed bag of depending on certain product lines at certain places. But I think these are the top three right now that are on our radar in terms of, you know, big level growth.
Okay. And so one more thing, that is there any margin differential when we supply to different sectors? I mean, as per the product mix?
There is. It does happen. There are certain products that are, look, it depends where you supply, what kind of product line you're supplying. If you go into auto on very large volumes, but then you're automatically on a margin slightly on the back foot. On the railways, it's a mix again. In some segments, larger volumes, so smaller margins. In some segments, you can get a bit of a mix. Oil and gas, heavy engineering, all of that, I feel, has a slightly better margin mix for us. And that's why we keep balancing that out as we go.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Our next speaker for today is Mr. Chetan. Mr. Chetan, you are now being placed in the meeting. Please proceed to ask your questions. Hello?
Hello? Yeah, Chetan, go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. Hi, Aditya. This is Chetan from Alpha Invesco. First of all, congratulations for a great set of numbers and the remarkable work done by you and your team over the last 2-3 years. So the quantitative numbers are pretty much visible. But Aditya, if you can talk about the qualitative changes or some structural changes within the organization that you have initiated since you have taken over. For example, let's say if you have changed the way we are incentivizing our sales team or our cost structures, or let's say how our product mix has changed from a certain type of products to a newer type of products. If you can just throw more lights on that, light on that.
Yeah, sure. Why not? I can give you a sort of generic overview on a few things. I may not cover it all, but on a few things. So one of the things we have, okay, since you brought up HR, that's a very interesting subject. And Mr. Tejia, I can explain to you very quickly what we've done on that. We now have a system whereby a minimum of 10% of anyone's package in the company,
yeah, including
is variable. A minimum of 10% of anyone's package, anyone, whatever level you are, a minimum of 10% of your take home, all the way up to 35% for the bosses, for all the senior managers, is variable, which never used to be the case earlier. You must all your component variable. Of that, a minimum of your variable package, a minimum of anywhere between 15 to 40% is linked to the profit of the company. So that's one big change we've made, and we're kind of seeing the benefit of it. And we're seeing a lot more people more clearly aligned towards that. That's one. I think one big thing we're doing is we're trying very hard to create more and more ownership in the company. As I keep saying, you know, it's a 70-year-old company, and it has its own, it's a big ship. When you want to turn it, it doesn't turn just because, you know, one person says turn it. It has to require all the stakeholders to buy in. And I think we've been working a lot of time and effort with all the bosses, all the mid-managers, to take more and more ownership. So I think that's a very big part of what we're trying to drive. And I can't quantify that, but that's qualitatively what we spent a lot of time and effort on. We are investing in people that can add technical expertise or business development expertise. I think we're doing a lot of those two elements in everything we're looking at. So that's from the HR perspective. From a product line perspective, you know, improving the product mix, taking gambles in terms of, you know, areas that are more imports, sort of bringing that to make more in terms of domestically and stuff like that. Invest in a bigger way, take those chances over there. So that's a big part of what we do. And yeah, I think that covers it. There's a lot more we do. I don't want to bore you guys with all those details, but that's pretty much along the lines and essence of what philosophically we try and drive towards on mm-hmm. that front. I hope that helps in some way.
Yeah. So, I mean, when I look at our product realizations, so if you compare it with, let's say, the largest player in the Indian market, so yeah. Realizations are around 15-20% lower ballpark compared to them. So is it because of the product mix or the pricing or the way our distribution is managed? I mean, what is it that is leading to this?
I don't like to comment on another company, and mm-hmm. I credit to them. I mean, globally, they're very, very strong, and so are they strong in India. We're not that far away from them, especially on the market where we fight, it's not that far away. Look, there are 2-3 elements to their numbers that I don't have the details of, so I can't comment, but they have a fairly large service business, which is servicing their own group international companies like Acknowledge or X. This is what I read about. This is what I hear is there's a fair amount of that business that's there where they're basically doing engineering outsource work or stuff like that. So I don't know what the margins are or the sale is. I don't know anything on that. But I presume that's different to the normal, typical margins you want on supply of product. Second thing is they do have some products where they made some acquisitions globally, where they have those product lines that are in there, specialized metals and stuff like that. So that's also there for them. And thirdly, I think they have a little bit of, you know, global sourcing benefits as well that come in. So and that's it. And I think it's a fairly slightly different game in that sense. Having said that, look, it's not to say that we can't bridge that gap. It's just a question of, you know, moving and acting in a fast manner in certain areas and getting it done. But at the end of the day, look, they're an MNC that has a couple of $1 billion, and you know, where we are who we are. So you have to pick and choose your fights and figure out how you can, where you can improve and where you sort of, you know, where it doesn't make sense to take that level. But that's where we are. But I think that gap will be bridged more and more. That's definitely a possibility.
Okay. So there is a room to improve our realizations and gross margins.
Oh, yeah. For sure. It's just not going to happen overnight. It'll play out, but for sure.
Okay, so let's say through this cycle, can we expect a significant gross margin expansion? I mean, not asking for any particular number, neither.
I can't give you a number on that, but through the cycle, definitely. I'd be disappointed if I didn't do it. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, secondly, on our exports, what are our export volumes versus the domestic volumes?
Export volumes last year, I would say on average, they must have done somewhere in the region of
about
3,000 tons, 3,000 tons, maybe last year, 3,000 tons last year,
they would have
done properly. So, yeah,
that's okay.
And that will grow this year.
Okay. Because I think on one of the earlier calls, you had mentioned that our exports in 2021, 2022 were less than the exports which we were doing in way back in 2002-03. So my question,
we were way better in 2006-07 and all that. I remember than we were now. No, we caught up that and we bridged that gap. By the way, we jumped beyond that.
Yeah,
last year we closed that gap and gone beyond that already.
Yeah. So my question is, what is leading to this revival in exports? Is it because of the demand from North Africa or Middle East markets, or is it that we have set up some offices overseas and that is leading to this change?
I think it's very simply two or three things. The first is we've made massive management changes over there that are beginning to pay off and have done well. I think the second thing is that we just restructured the entire way we're set up in those markets that are helping from the management perspective. The third is definitely, without a doubt, is globally, Indian supply chain is in a very different position than it was vis-a-vis our global competitors and more favorability. So I think that's giving the impetus as well. And lastly, look, in the Middle East, in certain other markets in Africa, Addo is a very strong brand that was undersold. I've always said this, it's an undersold brand. And now the team is being aggressive in actually converting those sales. So I think we're utilizing our brand power much more effectively and the opportunity to go there is even more. So I think it's a host of factors that are playing in our favor. We just have to keep working hard and smart, and the opportunity will keep coming.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What would be the opportunity size for us, let's say in Middle East and North Africa, if you can quantify it in volumes?
Well, that's not that big, by the way. The Middle East is critical. Saudi, Qatar, Saudi, UAE, Oman, those are all the critical aspects of the Middle East. North Africa is a little bit. Now we're entering the Americas. We're getting a little more aggressive over there, trying to see opportunities over there as well. The market sizes. That it's huge. I don't think it's a market size question. It's what is the addressable market size that you can look at? And that's a couple X of where we are today.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay. But we can export to Europe and US as well. Logistics is not a major.
It's not a major issue because of the product line. I think there's some like approvals, certifications, there's a whole bunch of stuff like that that we're looking at. I wouldn't say EU is our priority at the moment. I'd say the Middle East. The oil and gas economies of the Middle East, the North African part of that, the Americas are a little more priority at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So over the next 5-6 years, let's say, can exports become, let's say, more than 20% of our sales?
Over the next 5 years, let me just do my math in my head. Let's give me a second. Yeah, you can get there. You can get close to that. Definitely, you can get close to that. Why not?
Okay, okay. Yeah, and my last... Okay. So, my last question is, sir, I was just looking at some North American and European markets. So, in those markets, they're using very less number of, let's say, stick electrodes. And primarily, they use G-Saw welding and flux core welding, those products. So why there is a difference between the consumption pattern of these electrodes, let's say, in India versus the other markets? And can India also transition towards, let's say, G-Saw welding going forward? And what are the implications for our product portfolio and margins?
So the transition happens, it's happened globally, it's been happening for a long time. And the transition is primarily related to the cost of labor and productivity. And what you're talking about is GMAW and SAW. These are basically more continuous welding processes where the deposition of metal happens on a continuous basis and for a longer period of time. It can be done through semi-automatic processes, robotics, stuff like that, rather than handheld. And there are certain applications which can't escape handheld. Even globally, it happens, and in India. So I think in developed economies, I think the ratio is around 55% on the continuous or side and 45% on the non-continuous sort of segment. Whereas in India, it's at 70-30. 70 is on the continuous, on the non-continuous and 30 is on the continuous. But that ratio has changed drastically over the last 10 years. It used to be 90-10, it's already come 70-30. I think it's somewhere in the region of, India will be somewhere in the region of 65-35, 60-40, even at the end of this CapEx cycle. I don't think you're going to see it jump very drastically from that angle. However, as the cost of labor increases, as the types of jobs increases, as automation comes in, that's why I'm quite keen on enhancing our automation portfolio. Over the next 10 years, this will keep transitioning. There's no doubt. You can't stop it. But it stops at certain levels simply because of application.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But it will, we have the product portfolio and we are present in both the segments. So it will not really disturb
and
the.
And if you always have potential to incrementally add, but we're fairly okay at
present. Okay, okay. And sir, my last question is, what is the CapEx plan for the next 2-3 years? If you can quantify it and for which products?
I think over the next 2 years, you're looking at anywhere in the region of approximately 40-45 over the next 2 years is what I've given indicative plan. And this year is like the higher part of that. That's what I indicated earlier as well. And most of this is product line related to the welding business, just welding consumer goods paid by there.
Okay, okay. That's it from my end. Thank you very much and all the best, sir.
Welding consumables, everything is pretty much everything's welding consumables. Yeah, correct.
Thank you. Our next question is a follow-up question from Mr. Ankit Gupta. Mr. Gupta, you are now being placed in the meeting. Please proceed.
Thanks for the follow-up. Aditi, if you can give some broad views on how are things shaping up on Fontech, how has been performance last year, and how do you think, you know, FY24 will shape up for the company?
We made a few changes in Fontech from HYT onwards. We've seen better and better results. I think we're a little bit just a touch below where we could have been in terms of our sales for HYT, especially in Q4. But that's also due to product mix changes. There are product lines that are related to the plasma cutting and all of that, where the base effect was sort of hurting them a little bit. We made kind of a few small changes over there. Through the course of this year, it'll be interesting to see how they play out. I think they should be quite in line with industry expectations, if not in a position to do better than that.
Sure. So can we expect 8-10% kind of volume growth over there, or it will be lesser?
In Fontech, we don't discuss volume growth as much as we do at welding. In Fontech, it's more about value growth that we keep looking at because of the way the product mix is designed. So it's more on that. So I don't want to comment on the value growth specifically, but the engineering of that company is more value growth oriented than volume growth oriented.
Sure, sure. And secondly, on the consumable part, if you look at our revenue growth, you know, we have grown by almost 15% with hardly any volume growth in FY23. So, you know, there will be a big element of, realization increase and also some, you know, product mix improvement. So if you can specifically talk about, you know, product mix improvement, which has happened in last year and, you know, what are our plans for, you know, product mix improvement for FY24 as well.
Product mix improvement is an incremental thing. It happens in small, small stages as you keep entering more and more special segments and more high metallized, specialized metallized techniques and stuff like that. It's not happened incrementally in a very large pace, and neither can it happen because it's the complete DNA of the company. So it has to be done gradually. A lot of what you see is the HY1 inflationary impact in that 15%. That's a very big part of it. So you have to keep that in mind. The product mix will keep going through small changes, but look, at the end of the day, if you're still intermediary, if the price of the steel fluctuates the way it does, there's only so much we can do. So you're playing around that aspect as well.
Sure. So last year's growth was largely driven by realization increase, the inflationary thing on steel price.
Not in HY2 so much, more in HY1, yes.
Sure.
First half was because of inflation, second half was what you
mean? And product mix in second half was better.
Sure. Okay. Thank you. And wish you all the best. Thank you.
We have another follow-up question from Mr. Dhwanil Desai. Mr. Desai, you are now being placed in the meeting. Please proceed to ask your questions.
Hi, Aditya. Thanks again. So the first question is on the export side and slightly looking 3-5 years out. Wanted to understand from you that we are tapping the Middle East market, I understand, because we were there present and it's a low-hanging fruit. But how difficult it is to tap into larger markets like North America? Are we thinking in terms of tackling that larger market in terms of bandwidth, in terms of capability to compete with guys like Lincoln and Saab in their home stuff?
So yeah, it's definitely a slightly different ballgame when you're going to go into the Americas, Central America, South America. It's a different ballgame, no doubt. However, this is where the global headwinds towards favoring an Indian supply chain come a little bit in your favor. So I think there are a lot of people who are looking at India as an alternate supply source, and they're encouraging this conversation to happen. So you're seeing a much more open door policy towards this. And I think that's helping a lot. So I think it'll happen over time. it'll take time. This is another, you know, over the next 2-3 years, you'll see results. I still think that when it comes to value mix and brand margin pull, the Middle East and the oil and gas markets of the Middle East have a larger potential. But as we grow the entire kitty altogether, you need the volumes, and that will slowly come out of those markets of the Americas as well.
So let me put it differently. So in our aspiration to get 20% out of exports, whatever, 3-5 years out, you know, is Middle East and the current markets are good enough to reach that aspiration?
The markets we intend to establish this year, like I keep repeating, is the Americas and the Middle East and North Africa. These three markets have the potential to give us that number. Yes.
Okay.
It's not like every year we need to go and create new geographies which are very far away. This is pretty much the roadmap over the next 2-3 years. Establishing the roadmap with this year, a lot of intense thing will help a lot to get to that number. Yes.
Understood. And second question is on the flares. I think, you know, this year we did around 45, 50 crore flare business, and ONGC order 60-70% will get executed. Probably, you know, more tilted towards H2, but in FY24. So this base business of 45-50 crore, on top of that, the flares from ONGC, that is how we should look at it, or this will get replaced by ONGC order?
I got a little confused over that.
So should we add that 60% from ONGC into the current business of 40-50 crore?
No, we don't do it that way. No, it's not like that.
Okay. So it's mostly the ONGC for flares this year.
Sorry? Most of the revenue this year, yes, is related to the ONGC project. Correct. Yes, you're right.
Okay. Got it. Thanks.
Our next question is also a follow-up question from Mr. Harshal. Mr. Harshal, you are now being placed in the meeting. Please proceed to ask your questions.
Okay. Hi, sir. Sir, I had a few questions on the Adore Fontech business. So, firstly, what I want to understand, when you said it's more of a value business, so currently, what kind of value addition do we see over the next 2 or 3 years? Like, will it be something major that we are doing in terms of tech, or there'll be any low-hanging fruits which you can, you know, just explain?
So I'm not going to go into excess detail on Adore Fontech because it's a separate sort of thing, and until it merges through, I don't want to. But if you want to call, I'll wait to give you an overview on that. They do solution-oriented selling to enhance the life of industrialized components. So the question is the product mix, the applications you're talking of, how you sell the applications, the customers you're talking to, the reach you do, all of that, and the way you sell will allow you to keep enhancing your value mix to the and use different channels as well. So you can keep adding to it and doing it. I think it's again a question of, at least I feel, the same story is that I feel it's an undersold brand even in that market. I think the sales team has the potential to utilize the brand power and its application power to grow the value or the mix or the volume, either which way you keep doing it. The application is tremendous over there. So I think that's where the issue is. And I think we're working on it. We're trying every quarter on quarter to keep improving that. And there's a lot of work going on that. And this is a services business, by the way. We do a services business as well. A lot of it out of Nagpur, and then a lot at site and all that, which is also, we are sensing a much healthier sort of order book building over there.
Okay. So is it okay if I had a few questions on the Adore Fontech business.
I'll take one more question because I think it would be fair for me to answer too much on Adore Fontech. So I'll take one more question on Adore Fontech.
No problem. So the same question that I asked for the whittling business. So are we seeing any kind of, you know, product gaps that have been filled up in the Fontech business, which are kind of your low-hanging fruits going ahead? Or do we have a full product profile in the Fontech business and we just have to go and sell in the market?
We don't have massive product gaps. We have incremental product gaps that can be added and tweaked with a little bit to it. We have one specific area which is related to a sort of application of spray technologies that we're kind of looking at. But in general, there's no massive product gap that exists in terms of the portfolio we work with.
Okay, thank you.
We have 4 or 5 questions left.
So we can take two more.
We can take 2 more or 3 more very quickly. Whatever is there, 3 more questions if you don't mind, and then we'll close this out. Thank you guys for your time, and I appreciate everyone. But let's go very quickly if you don't mind. The 3 next questions.
Our next follow-up question is from Ms. Nitiksha. Ms. Nitiksha are now being placed in the meeting. Please proceed to ask your questions.
Yes, sir. My one more question is regarding our customers. So do we even supply to shipbuilding? Because
we do supply to shipbuilding, definitely. And in fact, over the coming next cycle, I think that's going to be a very interesting play, especially commercial shipbuilding besides it's the naval part. I think definitely.
Yeah, because a lot of defense orders are going to the Mazgaon docks and Cochin shipyards.
So we're involved in some part of it. We're not involved in some part of it. There's a whole mix of stuff that happens over there. But it's not only the defense element. There's even the commercial element from both parts. I think, yes, you're right. There is, I think the cycle for that is, in fact, about to start picking up the way we view it. Let's see how it plays out.
And power plants, sir?
Sorry?
Power plants?
Power plants, we are involved wherever the contractors are doing any capacity expansion, sort of work like that. Definitely, we are involved over there.
Okay. And so, when there is an increase in raw material cost, we pass it on to our customers. So, when there is a cooling off, do we kind of reduce the prices or?
Pretty much open information. And like I keep saying, at the end of the day, there's only so much you can play with. There's normally a 1 month lag from both sides, is what we play around with.
Okay. And regarding our competitiveness, so how do we kind of try to bridge our gap between the largest player and ourselves? Like, in what direction do we try to compete with them and be better? Increase our market share?
It's not always a head-on battle. I don't think it's always a head-on battle. It's from the public markets, it's easier to do that because they're doing the larger public market companies in this space. I think we have our own path that we sort of charted out in terms of where we want to go. And there's a free opportunity to bridge the gap. But it doesn't mean that it's always head on with them. No, not at all. There are many different dynamics that we keep looking at.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's all from me.
That was the last question for today. Over to Aditya, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time. And I appreciate everyone logging in. Thank you very much. We'll be in touch at the end of next quarter again. Next quarter, most likely. All right. Thank you very, very much. Bye.
Thank you.